number 5, 1 John chapter number 5, and I would like to begin reading with verse number 10. We'll read down through verse number 12 as our scripture text here this morning. 1 John chapter number 5, began reading with verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. May God add his blessings now to the reading of his word. Bow your heads with me in prayer, and everyone praying for me and with me through it. Father, thank you for the opportunity you have given me. I am much aware of your presence in this house today. I pray, O God, that you will continue to abide in our midst to finish the work that you started. Again, I am thankful for this church and for this pastor and these people, this ministry, their outreach of evangelism. I pray, God, you would continue to bless and add to this church such as should be. Now, Lord, make me a blessing both to this church and to this pastor. Anoint me to speak for you and not just talk about it. Anoint you all for service. And again, I ask, your will be done in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Life in the Son. I want to talk about that for a little while. Life in the Son. Christianity is a living reality. John 10:10 said, I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, it is in the abundance of life that gives us healing and strength and energy as well to fix it. No matter from what angle you look at Christianity, it is a miracle. How God can take a worthless piece of cheap dust, clean them all up, and make them a diamond for his glory. That is a miracle within itself. And so, you see, men have never been able to actually get that in their heart. It's hard for the human mind to conceive such a divine transaction, if you will. How God can just change a man instantly, take away the old, give him the new, my. I'm telling you, man becomes a new creature by receiving the very life and nature of God. Now, first it begins, as John said in verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not. God simplifies things. He doesn't complicate the matter. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now, he defines the record when he says that God hath given to us eternal life. I mentioned the other night, I didn't just get delivered from my sins, I received eternal life. The root of that life, the foundation of that life, is in Christ. There is life in no other. Since you have been risen with Christ now, we seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the throne of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, when you're dead, and here it is, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You see, in Colossians chapter number 2, verse 13, all right, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he put them together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And so when the Bible talks about he has quickened us, he has made us alive. He has made us alive. At the verse 12, he mentioned the fact that we are buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. The tomb is empty. We're not worshiping some dead image, our idol. We're worshiping the living God. Death can hold him. Oh, yes, he told them, he said, in 72 hours, according to your own tradition, I'm going to prove to you who I am. I'm coming back. Hallelujah. I'm coming back. Oh, yes, let hell fill its highest rage in 72 hours. I'm coming back. Let Rome express its might and muscle, but in 72 hours, I'm coming back. Let death do what it may, but in 72 hours, I'm coming back. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. I'm stumbling over the door, but I'm coming back in 72 hours. Oh, yes. In 72 hours, God came down and said, get up, son. You did a good job. Let's go home. Hallelujah. There was a trio that marched through the port of glory. God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, the feast the first to be directly covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, they marched into that divine celebration. Amidst all of the glory, God said, angel, go down and roll away the stone and tell them to me, he is not here, he is risen. Come and see the place where he lay. At the divine command of God Almighty, that angel down through the atmosphere, past the asteroids, right on down into that garden. He didn't negotiate with the local government. He didn't try and get permission. He didn't try and compromise. He broke the white seal of an empire, rolled the stone away, took his place behind that full step of death, and said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Come and see the place where he lay. It's secured and procured for us our salvation, our justification, and in the end, the glorification of every believer. We have that earnestness of the Spirit that moves within us this day. I can tell you, it's only a prelude to what you're going to receive after a while. And it's fullness when he changes us from mortality to immortality. Oh, yes, sir. And we will be caught up to meet him in the air. There is life in him. Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2, he said, and you have been quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins. For in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now liveth in the children of disobedience. And so the legal aspect of this new creation and everything that is legally ours becomes a vital reality. It says we must believe that this resurrection is for us. Thomas the Doubting Thomas, some called him, he said, I'll not believe except I touch the nail press and put my hand in his side to feel the scar. I won't believe. Jesus just passed into the midst of those frustrated, frightened disciples. And the first one he called is John. Come here, John. Or Titus, the Thomas it was. Come here, Thomas. Come here. He said, I want you to put your hand in my I want you to touch the nails in the print, in the palm of my hand. I want you to touch them. He did. He fell back in utter awe and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said something that ought to make anybody that's ever been born again shout. He said, you're happy, you're blessed because you've seen it and you believed. But he said, blessed are they, happy are they, to the end of the day, who though they have not seen it, yet they believe it. And here we sit this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, sir. And I do believe, you see, in the very mind of God Almighty, we were made alive in Christ. We was made alive in the Spirit. We were made alive in the Spirit. This becomes a reality to us. And we personally accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. He said that God hath given to right here and in eternity. I'm going to tell you what a hope. What a hope. What a faith. Now, I want to tell you, the church is a living organism because it derives life from Christ, if you will. Oh, yes, sir. You'll see it. Life comes out of Christ. And it says it's given to the truth. And from that, we express that. You see, her roots is deep in the Word of Life. Life produces life. All of her seed is in Him. And John said, he that hath the Son hath life. Her objective is to live for Christ, to live by Christ, to live as Christ, and to live in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. That's the object, if you will. That's what it's all about. We didn't just get saved to become religious statistics. That's not it. But we are born again that we might express that life. And as the world looks upon us, they do not see us as just religious people, but they see the living Christ in our expressions. It's manifested through our lives, if you will, our walk, our talk, our desires, our ambitions, our goals. Oh, yes, sir. All of it's there. What is it? Life in the Son. There's life in the Son. And over in the first chapter of 1 John, he began by saying that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon in our hands, have handled of the Word of life. The Bible said that He is that life, in Him is life, and that life is what? It's the life to men. Life is a revelator, if you will, revealer. And He said He has become that light. He is that revealer. Everything you need to know about God, everything essential to your faith in God, is found in Him. God gave Him that to us as an example. This is the pattern that God desires that we live as and after, if you will. So He says, for the life was manifested. The life was manifested. The word manifest means apparent to the eye or to the mind, plain, clear, no doubt. They said, man cannot do this. This has to be of God. The miracles that He performed, the words that He taught, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and feel unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and it was manifested unto us. Now, like this, listen, He said that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So we come here today to celebrate. We come here today to worship a living Savior, not a dead one. The cross is empty. The tomb is empty. Well, He's given us victory over death, over hell. Well, if you can't live for God with those kind of divine commodities, then there is no hope for you. Well, you know what? I have a sermon by a black teacher, and he's narrating a story between death and the grave. Oh, my. When I could stand still, I was getting most of it. Most of the time, I'm dancing, shouting, I'm telling you. Oh, my. He said that, he told the grave, death told the grave, said, Miss Grave, I bless you, woman. Can you take care of him? He said, I still got all the rest of you brought. You know, I can't take care of him. So when I did this, you got to watch this, and this is different here. I don't matter if you're right over the house, okay? Mr. Death walked away. The next day it came. Mr. Grave. Yes. You still got him? Yeah, you got the way you laid it. He ain't going nowhere. Third day rolled around. Mr. Grave. Mr. Grave, you got him? sometimes happen downhill. And I don't know that after that thing worked for us, I couldn't help it. That this man, he got up and left. I couldn't help it. I couldn't hold it. He's not here anymore. He's alive. Great God of heaven. Woo! I'm telling you, he's alive. I'm telling you, I said, we began to sing these songs, and I looked into the words, and I said, wow, what powerful theology. We're not going to take you to a shroud somewhere, a grave, a shrine. We're not going to take you there. No, we're not going to show you the bones of the body of our founder. I'm telling you, he is alive. He is my hope, my trust. He is my victory over sin. There's not a dope addict you can't deliver. There's not an alcoholic you can't deliver. There's not a prostitute you can't deliver. I'm telling you, he's that kind of a God. He can take us from the throes of sin's death valley and bring us into the presence of the holy angel. Hallelujah! And deliver us, if you will. I'm talking about life, brother. Life in the sun. The life was manifested. She seen it. She bears witness of it. Let me tell you something about this. I love it. This life cannot avoid expression. Can't do it. If you genuinely say somewhere down the line, it's going to break out on you. It's going to break out on you. Now, I've seen some people, they dance and body. I've seen some people that could stand and weep and cry and the glory of God everywhere. When we talk about salvation, when we talk about the cross, well, oh, at Calvary, years of sin and vanity and pride, knowing not it was for me he died. At Calvary, oh my, I didn't care anything about the cross, wasn't interested. But all of a sudden, the arresting officer, come on now, he got me, he arrested me, and brought me before, oh my, hey, I like the song that says, I'm so glad you found me. In love it bound me, to his arms around me, he led me to the shelter. Now I'm one of his own, and all the joy in knowing that with him I'm going to my home in glory. Oh, hallelujah. Come on here. You found me. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is in the house. The Holy Ghost is in the house. He's searching this congregation. If you feel that nudge, it's not your next door neighbor. It's not your wife. It's not your girlfriend. It's not your boyfriend. If you feel that touch, it's the power of God Almighty. Why? We are serving a living God. Hallelujah. And he is looking alive. And he's in this place to heal, to save, to deliver, and to set you free. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, if you're not here to express as you walk in fellowship with Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody wrote a song, Walking Up the King's Side. If you're not walking, it's come on, come on, walk up the King's Highway. Hallelujah. You know, I was preaching in Granite City, Illinois, several years ago, at Bethel Chapel. And as I preached, ladies came in, sat down. And as I was preaching, she got up and began to get loud. Well, thank God for microphones. I just cranked her up a few decibels in the morning and kept going. I got over after a while and kept moving. Finally, she sat down. I gave the altar invitation. She was the first one to the altar. She had her hands raised and she was worshiping. I said, what happened? What was you saying? What was wrong? She said, well, you was preaching. She said, I saw him. She said, I saw myself as a dirty, rotten, low down sinner. And I saw the Christ you talked about. And she said, he saved me tonight. Hallelujah. He saved me tonight. Oh, my. I'm here to tell you, that's what I desire, that's what I wish. You see, this interpretation of life is brought about by that spirit of life that's in Jesus. First of all, this life brings us into a new dimension. Romans 8 talks about his life is seen in the Spirit, by the Spirit, through the Spirit. I said the other night, the Spirit of God is the initiating God. It's the preparer of the way for the Word of God. The Bible says the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Because of righteousness, the Spirit is made righteous in him. Secondly, this life also brings us into a new distinction. Romans 8, 16 said the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, and all stand alone where they are. But in wondrous compassion, you didn't get that part. I'm on that by you again. In wondrous compassion. The King of all kings. In pity and love. Took me under his wings. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Doesn't it feel good when somebody comes up to you and says, I love you, brother. Put that arm out and just kind of pull you down. Oh, my. There's something about that. That really makes me feel good, you know. But then I'm going to tell you, when I feel the Holy Spirit of God Almighty, it's not. In wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, took me under his wing. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins. And I, who was wretched and poor and I can sing. Praise God. Praise God. I'm a child of the King. I'm not just everybody here this morning. I've just come to celebrate a traditional service. That's not it. I've come to celebrate Christ. I've come to rejoice in the hope of a risen Lord. I've come to tell you that your problems are over. We have a solution. His name is Jesus Christ. He'll take you from that dead life of sin, that bondage of sin, and bring you into the glorious liberty. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Hallelujah. It brings me into, we're not in the flesh. No. We're not in the flesh. We don't walk after, but in the Spirit. We're now not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. The Spirit of God is driving our affections heavenward. Seek those things. Those things he said. Poor Christ sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, that song, you could have sung that all morning. It is serious. I like to cry that in the face of hell. You're a loser. You're a loser. I wrote a song once, and I put in that song a line when the devil met his mortal. One fellow said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, when he was defeated, he made his marks. He lost the war. Hallelujah. He lost the war. Oh, yes, sir. Now, I'm telling you, Napoleon Bonaparte, he's that little nasty French general I told you about the other night. He had all of his generals around the dimly lit table in one of his big tents. And he stood there with a little flickering light. He pointed to a map of the known world. And angrily, he pounded on one red spot. And said, if it wasn't for this one red spot, I would take the world. I would own this world. He wanted to put that one red spot. That one red spot had time. I'm sure in the smoky caverns of hell, the devil has spent a lot of time pointing to Calvary. If it wasn't for death, I'd own this world. If it wasn't for Calvary, I'd own this world. But I'm here to tell you, he lost. He lost hallelujah. He lost, good Lord. He doesn't own it. Oh, Christ! You find a captain looking at the Jesus you offer and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him and gave the cross the side of the day, and he sat down at the right hand of the Son of God, who consider him to endure such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest to be weary and faint in your mind. Looking. It brings me into a new distinction. Not only that, but thirdly, it brings me into a new level of devotion. We want one after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He's not after the things of the flesh, but after the things of the Spirit. You know, we realize that the flesh profiteth nothing. It's the Spirit that quickens. You see, His Word in us is Spirit and life. And by the Word, He proves all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Psalms 105 said, for the Lord is good. Psalms 147, verse 10 said, my spirit is good. Isaiah 39 and 8 says, good is the word of the Lord. By us, the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. There is a distinction, if you will. You see, when a man is born again, a history of experience began. He's a product of eternal life. That life cannot be destroyed. I said that life cannot be destroyed. You see, the church is as eternal as God is. Christianity is the impartation of life, eternal life. And Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. You see, it's been said that faith is not simply an act of an instant, but it is an attitude of life. An attitude of life. Yes, sir. Saving faith is a living faith in a living Savior, and faith is so vital, it cannot, I repeat again, it cannot avoid extinction. See, John the Beloved, he shows us how that life was expressed. The attitude conveyed to the word righteousness. He said, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born again. The nature of God cannot sin. Amen. The nature of God cannot sin. I'm talking about in him is life. You see, God's righteousness is an attribute peculiar to himself. And it means essentially the same as his faithfulness and as his truthfulness. The quality of holiness in him, which must find expression in his hatred and condemnation of sin. You see, we as believers must look upon sin as God does. And John states that he that doeth righteous is born of God. He that doeth righteous is born of God. He says that which saying is true in him and in you. What's true of Christ? If you're born again, it's true of you. But the world has lost its appeal. The allurement, the temptation, has lost its appeal. We're no longer slaves to that. Why? There's life in him now. Not death, but life. Because he lives. I can face tomorrow. Because he lives above all things, all the fear of God. Because he lives. I am so glad that I don't have some little dead, tired, puny, wimpy religion. Some people look like their religion person. The fact they come to church looking for pleasure. You couldn't get a smile out of them if you die. David said, I was glad when he said unto me, woo! I came across that parking lot today and I said, we're going to have a church today. Woo! We're going to have some singing. We're going to have a little fountain around here. We're going to have a word of God coming our way. Somebody said, I enjoy the preaching. I said, I do too. If I didn't, you wouldn't. Come on. I'm here to tell you about it. Gotta have the team to lead the choir. We're gonna sing. Gary is gonna lead us into worship song. We're gonna sing. My Lord, we're gonna sing the song. Well, my Lord, that's life, brother. That's life. Wow. Now let me see. There's life. Whatever's in him is in me. Whosoever is born of God does not sin, the Bible says. That means we don't have an expression of habitual, the habit of sinning. Sin is not the Christian's lifestyle. Hallelujah. Somebody said, how is the world treating you? I said, I don't know. I got out of it over 50 years ago. Call me whatever you want to look at. I'm radical. I'm passionate. I'm talking about the kind of attitude that conveys to you righteousness. We want to live for Him. We want to keep His commandments. We want to please Him. Whatsoever we ask of Him, we receive of Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments. And we do those things that are pleasing and acceptable. The Bible says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Everyone having the habit of doing sin also has the habit of doing lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. My brother, he's gone on, man. Bless his heart. He's already gone. I had a heart attack at 56 and lived. He had a heart attack at 54 and died. I called him one day, and I could tell he was an old man. He was down. He just was good. I said, what's the matter? Well, I got another ticket. He had some vehicles that looked like a book. I said, what was you doing this time? He said, well, I just went to try a car out and said I was only running 110. I said, the speed limit is 55. Well, you know what happened? He got him a real nice bicycle, and when he went to work, he hung his lunchbox over the handlebars and rode to work on a bicycle. What is that for? Woo! I told you, it's for the law, it's just for those who break the law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you, that transgression is just that, the law, it's the notes of spirit, which produces that. The lawlessness carries with the idea of rebellion, of a purposeful defiance of God. But John clarifies it, that's our responsibility. In this, the children of God are manifested. And the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. You see, this produces an attitude of righteousness. We desire to be right. We desire to be right. Our humanity calls us to fail. We have faults and failures. But the grace of God is sufficient. Not giving you a license to sin, but he said, if we come to mind, we have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ for us. You see, this kind of life produces an attitude conveyed through us. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. How do we know we pass from death unto life? Because we love the brethren. ground abides is in the Son. All of this is from, you see, the ground of our love for the brethren is not in ourselves, but in Him who loves us with His own pure love. That mutual love of a believer is evident that they are the children of God. Our new birth in Christ brings with it the seed of divine love. We know we pass from death unto life. We know we pass from death unto life. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, sir. He breathed into us life. Oh, yes. And so we know that our attitude, our quality of life, our experience with God, all of that is mirrored in the fact that we love one another. Thirdly, the attitude conveyed to victory. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We overcome. We overcome. He's manifested through our salvation. He's manifested through our healing. He knows how to deliver. He knows how to deliver. Well, you know, when we began to experience that, I was in Western Oklahoma in revival several years ago. And one night, I preached on faith. One night, a little girl came up to me. She said, "Brother Danny, I have a friend of mine," and said, "she's blind." I said, "I told her, if she would come to church with me tomorrow night, you will pray for her, and God will heal her." I stepped up before that church, and I said, "I want you to pray at least 30 minutes. I don't want you to pray for Uncle Arthur's lumbago or Aunt Lucy's arthritis. I want you to pray for this. 30 minutes at least." The next night, I looked out, and up the steps came a little girl leading a little blind friend, taking it ever so slow, being cautious, led her into that sanctuary. She sat down. I preached. I began to pray for the sick around the altar. You know, if you got a headache, some folks believe it, you know, you can't get a touch of God, you know, kind of work it in there. You know, get the stomach hurting, they came, their own legs were clearing that up. Can God heal? I'm talking about the lives in the sin. When I got to where she was, I knelt down in front of her, and just she and I and our little friend. Church backed up on me. I'm sorry to say it, but they backed up. I knew then, just me, that little girl, the promise of God, and the healing touch of the Almighty. I knew it. I looked at her and I said, "You know, I can't heal you." She said, "I know that." "Do you believe that Jesus will?" "Yes, I do." I laid hands on her. I rebuked that blindness in the name of Jesus. I looked at her. I said, "How many fingers am I holding?" She said, "You're holding up your right hand and you have four fingers in it." "I'm all right." "What color's the food?" She said, "There's food. It's nasty." The greatest reward. I want to tell you. Come on, Jim. Come on, Jim. The greatest reward I had that day when I saw that little bunny. Look at this child. She walked outside and looked at this child. And she said, "They are so perfect." She hadn't seen them before, but she did take a hold of them.
because of this. I can face tomorrow.
Woo! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Because of this, I can face tomorrow. Because of this,
stand with me right now. Come on.